side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to today's Souls Harbor worship service. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. I'll be leading you and guiding you in this service today through the singing of the songs and the sharing of God's Word. As we begin our service, I want to remind you of something that Paul the Apostle said to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4. He said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Without a doubt today in this great audience, there are many, many folks that have needs that they are trusting God to meet. Maybe today you didn't know that you could trust God to meet whatever your need is. Well, this service is going to help you with that. Throughout this service today, we want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in God, for He will never let you down. He knows how to meet your need. The Zion Trio is coming to help us with our first song today. They're coming to sing a great old song of the church that's simply entitled, "Come and Dine." The inspiration for this song to be written can be found in the book of John, Chapter 21. The disciples are out on the Sea of Tiberias. They have been fishing all night long and couldn't seem to catch one fish. Now, you need to remember when you think of that story, these were professional fishermen. They knew what needed to be done in order to catch fish. But all night long, they toiled and caught none. As morning began to break, they noticed a figure on the shore who called out to them, "Have you any meat?" When they answered, "No, we have none," this figure on the shore said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." Well, as they did what he said for them to do, they caught a great number of fish. That person on the shore was Jesus. He had the fire going. He had fish cooking on the fire. Everything was ready for them as they came to shore that day. And to top it all off, not only did God meet the tired, hungry disciples with a meal and ready for them to relax, but He had also helped them to obtain the great catch of fish that would support their livelihood. The reason I'm telling you all of this today is to make you aware that God always knows what you have need of, and God always has a way that that need can be met. Listen to the words of this song. If you know it, sing it along with the Zion Trio. "Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine."
Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, too sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine,
calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, who turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Yes, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
A few years ago, when I was pastoring down in the Washington, D.C. area, I had an assistant pastor to me by the name of John Pappas, who introduced a new word to me, a word that to this day I have not forgotten, even though I don't hear it used very often. The word is plethora. Now, what plethora means is a large or excessive amount of something. Today, I might use that word to describe where a number of people are at. You have a plethora of circumstances, of problems, of situations that you just don't know what you're going to do about. Well, we may have a plethora of things happening around us and to us, but there is just one source that we need to turn to that can help us with all of these things that we are contending with. The source of our help is God. And today, even though you may feel like you're in the depths of the valley and that there's nothing but darkness all around you, and you have no idea what you're going to do to help yourself in the midst of the plethora of things that you're going through, God will find a way.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But when things change, when you're down, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now in the valley, there's trials and temptation. Put to the test.
I like the part of that song where Ralph was singing, and he says, "The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the night is still God of the day." What that tells me is whether things are going good or bad, it doesn't matter. God is still God. Now, that's something we can rejoice about because that means God can't be shaken by the circumstances of our lives. When things are going against us, He's still there. He's still who He always is. And because of that, He is able to help us in the midst of our difficulties today. As we go to God in prayer on behalf of your circumstances, your situations, we're going to trust God to do what God does. He makes a way where there just doesn't seem to be any way. Well, today you may not be able to see a way. I may not be able to see a way. But God can always find a way to help us. And today, without a doubt, so many in this audience needs the help of the Lord. Maybe you're fortunate enough that you need just a little bit of help. But then there are some that I'm aware of, and perhaps many that I'm not aware of today, that need more than a little help. You need a large amount of help. Maybe there is no solution to your situation today outside of God. Well, let's exercise some faith. If we'll do that, I believe we can begin to see the answer to our situations because we put our faith and trust in God and we've allowed Him the freedom to do what He has to do in order to help us. Let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that Your watchful eye is always upon us, that You see us in everything that we go through. You are aware today of every need that we have. Today in this audience, I am certain that there are many folk that have needs. As we've said, some have small needs, others have large needs. You're not concerned about the size of our needs. You're just concerned about the fact that we have a need. Today, as we bring these needs to You, I pray that You will meet each one as You've promised that You would do. We don't need to find the solution so that You can work. Lord, we leave the solution to You and ask You that You will just work as only You can work. For we know that in that we will have our miracle and that we will be able to stand and rejoice at what You have done on our behalf. For these things we pray today and we ask You in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Sometimes it seems God's a million miles away, too busy for a creature such as I. And then I think of how He sees each sparrow fall. I call His hands are all to think that God so great holds me safe within his arms. Why love that he should ever care for me? The eyes of Jesus are upon each footstep that I take. His ears are always open when I pray. His hands are always there to help me lift my heavy load. His heart is broken every time I stray.
When dealing with the troubles and trials of life, it's good to know that there is someone near us who cares. Many times, the encouraging thing that really does help us is to just know that there is someone who cares about us, who cares what's happening to us. There in the natural may not be anything they can do, but just knowing that they care helps to encourage us. Well, when God demonstrates His care for our lives, He comes to us a little differently than what our family, friends, and neighbors can do. You see, when God comes, He comes with a divine ability to do whatever is necessary to help us in the midst of what we're facing. Throughout this service today, we are trying to encourage you to let you know that even though you may be going through some things that are a great deal larger than you are, there is help. Doesn't it help to know that there is help? That there is someone who cares enough about us that they will intercede on our behalf? That is, that they will reach into our lives to give us a helping hand. Now, with God, His helping hand can change things dramatically because He can help us to overcome, get beyond. He can help us by supplying all that we have need of. God can do whatever is necessary to help us in the midst of our situations today. As Ken and Annette McDonald prepare to sing this next song, they are coming to also remind us that Jesus is one who can perform miracles. If you're looking for a word search in your devotional life, I would use the word touched. Search the Gospels especially for the word touched and take note of how many times Jesus touched someone and what the results were of that touch when He laid His hand upon them. We can see throughout those Gospels that whoever He touched, there was a miracle that was done for that individual. Whether they were crippled, whether they were lepers, whether they were blind, deaf, dumb, it didn't matter what their situation was, but when Jesus reached down and touched them, He made them whole. Today, that may be the description of the answer that you're looking for. You want to be made whole. Well, as the McDonald's sing this song, "Somebody Touched Me," it's quite possible that Jesus will touch you and make you whole.
Many years he walked in darkness as he groped along the street. His hands stretched out for pennies or just one bite to eat. It's the story of the blind man who met Jesus on his way. With the Master's touch, the man looked up as the scoffers heard him say, "Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free." One day he touched a crippled man and made him walk again. And the Master saw with pleasure he had labored not in vain. Like the story of that crippled man, I too was bound by sin. But since my Master came, oh praise his name, thank God I now can say, somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. Somebody touched me, somebody touched me. I was blind, but praise his name, I now can see. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, I now am free. I was in darkness when Jesus found me, but since he touched me, thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free.
I know today that there are so many things that we are facing, things that are way beyond the ability of mankind to do anything about. I think that might be one of the problems we have, is that we're worried that we cannot find a source of help that can make the difference in the midst of what we're going through. I know the Bible tells us to endure hardships as a good soldier, but we'd like to think that there is a source of supply that can make the difference for us while we are enduring those hardships. Well, there is a difference. That difference is God. I know to some people's way of thinking that God just isn't enough, that we need something that's more sure. Well, my faith has taught me there's nothing more sure than the help of the Lord. That God can do things for us that no man can do. We just have to put our faith and our trust in Him. That may be part of the problem that we're having today. We just can't seem to bring ourselves to fully trust Him. Well, think about this a little bit. We serve a mighty big God. In fact, Isaiah the prophet called him the Almighty, which means he is the mightiest of the mighty. When all the rest have failed, God can still perform. Today, Golden Harmony is coming to encourage us with a song that says, "A Mighty Big God." Well, that's who He is today. We need Him in a mighty big way, oh yes. But thank God we have a mighty big God who fits the description of what we have need of. Let this song bless you as Golden Harmony comes and shares it with us.
Children of Israel standing at the Red Sea, wondering how they got between the water and the enemy. Couldn't move forward, couldn't go back. God had them where He wanted, frozen in their tracks.
Then I'm guessing this was their conversation. Lord, we're in a mighty bad situation.
We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way.
Disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, tossing in the storm, and they were wondering how the Lord could sleep.
Taking on water, thinking they'd drown. God had them where He wanted,
scared of going down. And I'm guessing this was their conversation. Lord, we're in a mighty bad situation.
We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way. His hand hopeless.
He knows we need
a big mighty God in a mighty big way. God with the power that the waters obey. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way. You know that we are mighty small, and we sure need You to save the day. We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way. We need a big mighty God in a mighty big way.
We take a moment or two in the midst of this service today to pause and talk to you about the ministry of Souls Harbor. I want to extend to you an invitation to be a part of what God is doing through this ministry. Now, that may not mean that you'll be in front of the camera, but it doesn't diminish the importance of your participation, because your support through prayer and financial giving really does enable us to do what this ministry does. What I'm trying to help you to realize is that we can't do this without you. We absolutely need your help. If you'd like to be a part of what God is doing through this ministry, then I want to give you our contact information so that you can get in touch with us. And in these next few days, as soon as you possibly can, you'll respond with whatever God has laid upon your heart, and you'll be a great help to this ministry. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution in the U.S. by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. You can also make a contribution online by going to our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. There, if you'll click on the donate button at the bottom of the homepage, you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. In Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. To make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card in Canada, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. As I said a moment ago, this ministry exists today through your contributions, your free will contributions. We would never ask you to do something that you couldn't do or felt uncomfortable doing. But we do ask you each and every week to please prayerfully consider what God would have you to do. For surely today God knows your circumstances. He knows what you can give, and He knows what He will do in return for your gift. You see, there is a law of sowing and reaping that's in force here. When you sow into the kingdom of God, you'll reap from the kingdom of God. Who knows what God will do for you if you will just react in obedience to His calling. If you'll do what He's asking you to do, then God will open up the floodgates of heaven to pour blessings out upon your life. So today, please, respond to what God is laying upon your heart. This ministry will be benefited from it, but you also personally will be benefited from it as well. Thank you for everything that you do on behalf of Souls Harbor. I'm quickly going to go over and sing a song today just before we share the Word of God. It's a song that I've been singing for a long, long time, and that's simply because I recognize today that so much of my life has been changed. So much of my life has been affected by the touch of God upon it. When I've needed Him, He has been there. And in His being there, He has made the difference. The reason I'm singing it today is because I believe what God has done for me, He will also do for you. If you know this great song, sing it along with me. It's entitled, He Touched Me.
I was shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. Oh, I will shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. He touched me. My soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
I know that I have been criticized at times for putting too much emphasis on the touch of God, on feeling God's presence in one's life. Well, let me give you my reason for putting so much emphasis on that subject today. It's because in my own personal experience, I am well aware that I could not be here in front of you today if it wasn't for His touch. I'm thankful for His touch. I can easily and without hesitation say that if it wasn't for the touch of God upon my life would not resemble anything that it resembles today. My life is far from perfect, but it's also far from what it would have been if it hadn't been for the many, many times throughout the course of my life that I felt the touch of God's hand upon me. Now, I know me better than I know anyone. I know my weaknesses. I'm willing to admit to you today that my life is full of weaknesses. Some of those weaknesses are larger at times than at other times. There are some days that it seems like I can easily conquer the weaknesses of my life. But then there are those days where those weaknesses easily conquer me. No, I've not gone out and committed any gross, atrocious sin. But you see, I remember the scripture said, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Many times it's not going out and doing the great large things that we know that we are commanded not to do. It's those little things that creep into our lives that somehow get a hold of us. Maybe we're weary today. Maybe we've been going through some times of discouragement and that has left us more vulnerable. Doesn't matter how we got there. What matters is that we found ourselves in a moment of weakness. And that weakness overcame us as if that weakness was stronger than any other part of us. I know I've said this many times, I quote it often, but we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I didn't need the touch of God's hand upon my life to help me to realize that I was lost, that I had committed sins, that I had wrongdoing in my life. As the songwriter wrote, I was 'neath a load of guilt and shame. I didn't need God to come along and tell me I had some things wrong. I knew that already. What I needed the hand of God to tell me was, is that despite what I had done wrong, I could be forgiven. The reason that's so important for us to realize today is because when we understand that it's possible for us to be forgiven for all the wrongs of our life, it's not long before we'll begin to understand that we can be restored, that we can once again stand on our feet, that our wrongs, our guilt, our shame doesn't need to bow us over as if we were carrying a load too heavy to carry. But no, we can rise up, declare our freedom that comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because it's His shed blood that separates us from the sins of our yesterday. Now, I can almost hear a skeptic say, but Pastor Rick, what about the sins of today? Oh, yes, that blood can still set us free from any sin that we commit. All we have to do is ask God for forgiveness. You see, His touch, first of all, tells me that there is forgiveness for all of our sins. Now, you can write if you want to, but I'll go ahead and tell you my answer right now so you don't have to wait for my response. Yes, I believe God can forgive us of any sin that we have committed against Him. The only sin that He won't forgive us from, the Bible says, is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I have a feeling that if you have taken such a drastic step as that, you're probably not interested in what I'm saying in this worship service today. You've already gone beyond that. You're not listening to what Scripture says. You're not listening to what the men and women of God are telling you that the Word of God declares. You're not interested because you've already written it off. It means nothing to you. All the other sins of our life, and those are many, it would be impossible for us to list them all today because all of us are weak in our own way and we're vulnerable in our own way. We have fallen in our own way, and yet we all share one thing in common. In our sin, we are separated from the presence of God. Oh, I had a much different direction I was going to go in today, but I really feel compelled within my spirit, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to stop right here and just deal with this a little bit, because I believe there's some folks in our worship service today that need to feel the tender touch of God's hand saying to you that He is here to forgive and to forget. He's here to release you, to give you a freedom from your sin so that you can live in a newfound liberty. Let me take you to a passage of Scripture. It's one that Paul the Apostle wrote in the book of Romans. It's probably one of the greatest scriptures that he ever wrote, because in this 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we have the gospel in a nutshell. Everything we need to hear from God can be heard in what he says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is where I want you to turn first, because I want you to get this not just in your hearing, but I want it to embed itself deep in your spirit so that you can understand the kind of love that God loves us with. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Scripture says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I like that, because as a sinner, it's important for me to know that when I come to God, God is not going to work through the weapon of condemnation. He will use the tool of conviction. In my mind and in my heart, those are vastly different. When somebody uses condemnation against us, it's used to beat us down and then keep us down. Oh, the enemy of our soul today would love to beat us down, to get us to where we couldn't look up, that we were without hope because of the things that we have done in our lives. But God comes along, and not through condemnation, but through conviction. He reaches down to touch us. When conviction comes, it works to restore us. Its purpose is to help us to recognize what we did, but at the same time, help us to be able to stand up free from the penalty, the punishment, the guilt, and the shame of what we did, because through Jesus Christ, His blood covers it all. Condemnation, what a weapon against people today. I know so many people that are battling the war of condemnation in their lives. They can't let anyone else forgive them because they can't forgive themselves. Oh, and I know I'm talking to somebody today. I may not know your name, I may not know your address, but I know because of what I'm feeling in my spirit right now, I'm talking to somebody that's your issue. The greatest issue of your life is that you can't forgive yourself for the things that you have done wrong. Well, let God forgive you first. If you could just rise up in His forgiveness, you would find that it's possible that you could forgive yourself. Oh, I know that's hard to do because our memories are too long. Those things are embedded deep within our memories, and it seems like every time we turn around, it's rising to the surface to remind us one more time of the thing that we've done. And immediately guilt and shame come. Immediately we're embarrassed and we feel low because we know what we did was not just harmful to our own lives, but more than likely it hurt somebody near and dear to us. Well, when we receive the forgiveness of God, God helps us to come to a place where we're able to forgive ourselves. And when we can forgive ourselves, then we allow others to forgive us. We don't walk in guilt and shame because we know we've been forgiven. Now, to me, that word forgiveness means that when I'm forgiven, the person I have wronged releases me from the thing that I did. It's as if it never happened. That's the way it is with God. When we remind God of our sins after we've asked Him to forgive us, He just stands there and says, I don't know what you're talking about. That thing that you're talking about is something that was forgiven, and when I forgave you, I forgot about it. My father used to have a saying that I've picked up of late because it's so true. He said that when God forgave him of his sins, He threw him in the sea of his forgetfulness. And as soon as he did that, he erected a sign that said, no fishing. Oh, the enemy may fish all day long, but God's not fishing for the remembrance of those things that we've done. They're in His sea of forgetfulness. Can we try to put those things behind us? Because if we don't, we'll be bound by those things. Every time something good happens, we are remembering something bad. And it's the remembrance of that bad that brings us back down, that opens the door of discouragement to our hearts. We eventually come to a place where we just give up. We're tired of fighting that battle. We might think that as we get older, we're less vulnerable to those things. But the problem is, as we get older, we have more empty time. We have more time to think about the things of yesterday. And it seems like when we ought to be free from those things get a tighter grip on us as we remember the things that we did wrong, the harm that we brought to others. Excuse me. Maybe not in deed, but in word. Words are sometimes more hurtful, more harmful to people's lives than any action that one would take, because those words have a much longer effect upon us. Something said in anger can come back to us many, many times, and it cuts fresh and it cuts deep. Oh, if we could find a place of forgiveness in our lives. Read chapter 8 of the book of Romans today and hear the things that it's saying there. Because if we continue to walk after the things of the flesh, we will reap the harvest of the things that flesh has sown. It will be painful. It will be sorrowful. It will be death. But if we walk after the things of the Spirit, which is to say, if we'll walk after the things of God, then we'll find liberty. We'll find joy. We'll find happiness. We'll find peace. We'll find that we don't have to get to heaven to enjoy heaven. We can enjoy heaven here on earth because the touch of God is upon us. We are living in Him and He is living within us. And friend, that relationship makes the difference. I've perhaps reached that point where now I can really preach, but as I can tell by looking at the clock, I don't have time to do that today. I do feel a very big burden today, a heavy burden, for somebody that's really struggling. The things of your yesterday are winning the battle over your life. It's time now to ask God to forgive and to forget, and let Him bring you to a place of freedom today. Because that's where He wants to bring you. He wants to give you life, and that more abundantly. Heavenly Father, I may not know who you're talking to today, but you certainly do. Lord, I pray, help them to gather up enough strength to bow before you and ask you one more time to forgive, to forget, to restore, and to help you, help them with the things that they're going through. Lord, I put them in your hands today, for I know that you're the only one that can truly deliver them from the burdens that they're carrying. So touch them now, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way. I was wretched, I was vile as could be. Then my Savior in love gave me above, when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down. Was lost and undone without God or His Son. Then He reached down His hand for me. I was nearing despair when He came to me there, and He told me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me glory complete, I'm glad he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When Jesus reached down his hand for me, I was lost, I was undone without God or his Son. Jesus reached down his hand for me.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest.